It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The state of the Cowboys, not awesome. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. That's basically what the Cowboys did yesterday, Perloff. It was like a state of the union. It was like a state of the team in Oxnard, California. Delayed a little bit because the Jerry Jones paternity lawsuit that has now been settled, as one does. So they finally got down to football. And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. We're going to play a couple cuts, and we're going to ask you a very important question if you're a Cowboy fan, which is, of the three guys who need to be paid, which is Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, and CeeDee Lamb, who is the most important person to pay? If they could only pay one, who should they pay? Now, that's the question. As far as like the how the press conference went yesterday, that was specifically for those players, in my opinion. I thought they were sending a message to those guys, listen, you got to work with us a little bit here, and we can't make all of you the highest paid at your position. And I think this was not as much for the fans and the media as it was for those players. Hey, listen, we cannot pay top of the market for all three of you.
Well, you said the state of the Cowboys is not great, but is there any real difference now than the state of the Cowboys anytime during the last 10 years? I mean, they've had a lot of high-priced players who've wanted big deals. Often they've given them that big deal. In fact, almost every time they've given them that big deal. But you could also look at it like, are we overestimating this offseason drama? Like, are we making a huge deal out of this? Then Dak, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons, all three of them just be there, and they're going to be 12-5 again? Is that possible? Why does it feel like, and the way you say that, if I'm listening to that, that means that they're going to take a step back this year because of this drama? Or is this just sort of working it out in the press, as you're describing?
Well, I think taking a step back or being status quo, which is not making it to at least the NFC Championship game, I think is big changes are coming. I definitely think Mike McCarthy's probably gone, especially if they have a loss where they're favored to win or it's embarrassing or whatever in the playoffs. So I think big changes could be on the horizon. And every time you don't get to the NFC Championship game, at the minimum for the Cowboys, it feels like a gigantic failure.
But let me ask you this question. Yeah. Would you have not sat here exactly 1 year ago and said the same exact thing?
Oh, I advocated for Mike McCarthy to be fired the day after. I'm shocked he's still there.
So is this in the same crap we've been going through with the Cowboys? There's nothing different. They're probably going to be a really good team because there's players everywhere. And yeah, I understand all this drama, but at the end of the day, I think all three of those players we mentioned will be there and they'll be 12-5.
So Jerry said the word ambiguity maybe 50 times yesterday. We're talking about the Dallas Cowboys press conference yesterday. And he was really sending a lot of like mixed signals because Jerry's 80 and, you know, age is just a number, but he was kind of showing, and I felt like he was showing that 80 yesterday. He did not look good.
Once again, a 65-year-old Jerry, did you think that made sense? What are you talking about?
Yeah, fair.
You know, he's been, say, ambiguity. He's been talking out of both sides of his mouth since Jimmy Johnson left.
Yeah, and other places. but let's get to a little Jerry, because we are asking you the question today, and Ryan Botcher in with us today. Of course, Pete Bilotti, EJ is here with us on the Zoom as well. Good morning, everyone. If you could only pay one guy, and it's Micah, or it's CeeDee Lamb, or it's Dak, who do you pay? Ryan, if you wouldn't mind putting that poll up, I know I just also asked you to grab some sound, so do that all in your own time. Let's listen to a little Jerry from yesterday. First, this is Jerry talking about Dak Prescott on whether or not this will be the last year of Dak in a Dallas Cowboys uniform.
I do not think that this will be his last year with the Cowboys at all. It's pretty clear, I think. I want to say it if it hadn't been clear. of how much we appreciate what Dak Prescott has meant to this team in a positive way.
Okay, not 5 seconds later, Jerry also followed it up with this.
Believe it or not, in my life, I've had a lot of things I wanted that I couldn't get because I couldn't afford it. Now, have I learned to live with that in 80-something years? You bet I have, and life does go on. And sometimes when you get a bump like that, you turn around and do better than you would have had you got what you wanted.
And I'll tell you what.
There you go.
That's the clip. Whatever else Jerry says, that's the clip. And I'll tell you, guys, they're making a mistake. You are making a mistake if you think the grass is going to be greener without Dak Prescott. And we're asking you the question today, who is the most important person to pay out of Dak, Micah Parsons, and CeeDee Lamb? If you could only pay one, I would pay Dak Prescott. And I'm sure I'm probably in the minority there, but Micah Parsons, it doesn't matter. CeeDee Lamb, it doesn't matter. You want to see a great receiver with not a great quarterback? Look at what the Raiders are doing. You want to see a great pass rusher, a great defensive player without a good quarterback? See what the Pittsburgh Steelers are doing.
Yeah, making the playoffs every year, but yeah, because that pass rusher is so good. But yeah,
and losing. And not getting any further, and the Cowboys even get further than the Pittsburgh Steelers over the last 15 years in the playoffs. At least they've won more than one playoff game. So be careful. Dak is without a doubt the most important person to me to sign out of that triumvirate. What do you think, Pearl?
So it's obvious to me. First of all, if that's Jerry's money quote, I don't even know what the heck he said. So I don't, but regardless, it's obviously there's one Hall of Famer in that group. It's Micah Parsons. Like CeeDee, I hate to say CeeDee Lamb's a very good player, but he's going to get caught up in this churn of numbers. There's a million receivers with 1,500 yard. There's like three on the Rams alone. So CeeDee is great, but he's replaceable. Dak Prescott's the longest tenured starter in the NFL, and he's done nothing in the playoffs. Listen, I'm a fan. I think he's really good. He whoops on my Eagles all the time. He's great against my own team. At a certain point, you're just going to do this for the next 8 years. You're going to have 10 more years of Dak Prescott going to the wild card game, they might have to start over with a rookie deal quarterback.
Man, it just doesn't make sense, though, on the timeline. Because if you are going to pay all these other guys, where are you getting this quarterback from? Well, you're not picking top 10 in the draft because you're not going to be that bad unless something does happen to Dak Prescott and you might bottom out, like, unfortunately, the season they had when your boy Andy Dalton took over.
Well, and also the defense completely fell apart that season.
You're right. I don't think is going to happen now. So,
Where are you getting that quarterback? I mean, look around that division. Jalen Hurts was second rounder. You have they got Dak Prescott in the fourth round. I think the Cowboys think, hey, we can find something, and they could be right. I mean, you have to ask this question. I don't understand. Like, everyone has amnesia from after they got blown out by the Packers, and Dak Prescott basically threw an 8-yard pass over the middle that CeeDee Lamb could not catch. He just went off his fingertips, and CeeDee Lamb totally melted down. And then Dak Prescott threw a pick six. This is like, is this going to go on forever? Are we going to sit and have the same conversation every August till the end of time? At a certain point, the Cowboys have to go in a different direction. So that means different direction means, hey, we got to think differently at quarterback, maybe start over. This team's overdue a rebuild. And what does a rebuild mean? It means a new quarterback.
Well, I just think that you don't have a solution for me on who that next QB is going to be unless Trey Lance somehow can come in a cheap deal and he's a guy who can hold the fort down for you. You don't have a great option. And in this league, if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a prayer. So if you want to start over, that's fine. But you're not going to strike gold three times in a row with Tony Romo being undrafted, Dak Prescott being a late round pick, and then you're going to do that again? Nobody does that. That is not a strategy.
Wait, Packers obviously do it.
That's first rounders. They're not going late into the
They got Love at 26 and Rodgers at 24.
Okay, so the Cowboys could do first round guys.
Yeah, so the Cowboys could get a guy at 24.
All right. Well, then they've got to do it, and they've got to make sure they're not part of that 50% of first round picks that bust.
Who are the top two seeds in the NFC according to Vegas right now? It's
probably San Francisco.
San Francisco, Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, and Detroit, Jared Goff off the trash heap. I'm not sure that's the only way to go is to have this top 10 pick, because the other thing is 60% of the top 10 picks are total busts. They have one of them on their roster in Trey Lance.
I understand.
So I'm not sure that there's and this year's quarterback draft is not great. I don't even know if the year after that is great. So I'm not sure it's that simple. At a certain point, you said the show me their option moving forward. I'll tell you what's not an option is to keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I don't turn my back on a guy who just came in second in MVP voting. In this day and age, in the NFL, when everything, your one job, if you're a general manager, is either to find your quarterback, get your quarterback paid. This is the whole sport right now. Why you would say no thank you to Dak Prescott when he's clearly the most important piece. What can Micah Parsons do if you're down two scores? Newsflash, absolutely nothing. He can't do anything.
Right.
Because all they're going to do is run the ball away from him and play ball control on you. What's CeeDee Lamb going to do catching passes from who knows what Trey Lance is or whatever that's going to be? Jack, we're going to be talking about him getting traded like we are with Devontae Adams. And Dak is the most important cog. I'm sorry if that bothers people because he hasn't won yet. Yeah. And I know it bothered people with Romo because he couldn't win either in the playoffs when it mattered. But you don't want to know what life is like on the other side. I promise you. It's called quarterback hell, and it stinks.
Show me a team that has been the only quarterback hell is be stuck in a contract for 8 years. I mean, the only way, say Dak is not a Super Bowl winning quarterback. That's a very plausible statement. We have a lot of evidence.
Yes.
What is the only way to guarantee that you won't get a Super Bowl winning quarterback?
Is to keep him?
To keep him for six more years. Do 14 years of Dak if you don't think he can win a Super Bowl. I mean, you say like there's no quarterback plan. The only way to have a plan, a quarterback, is to clear the deck so you can get a new one. Otherwise, you're just stuck forever.
See, I don't think so. I think that there's plans here. You mentioned before, how do you get quarterbacks? Your Philadelphia Eagles, the Green Bay Packers. This was a year before they actually needed it. For the Green Bay, it was 3 years before they needed it. This is Cowboys stuff. This is winging a prayer.
Well,
quarterback position.
If you pay Dak right now, you're done. You're like, that's it. This is your team.
For the next 3 or 4 years. He's only 31.
4 years? Jerry's going to be 86 by then.
Who cares?
Well, I'm just saying, like, if this is really, for all intents and purposes, if you do a Dak deal now, that's it. You're never going to get a shot at one of these other guys. There's no Shador coming. There's no Matthew Stafford coming ever.
If you have a rookie, though, if we're talking about Jerry's age, right? We're talking about right now with the Cowboys. If there's three guys who want to be paid at the top of the market, it's Dak Prescott, it's Micah Parsons, and it's CeeDee Lamb. If you could only pay one, who should the Cowboys pay? You're saying Micah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying Dak Prescott. And you're talking about Jerry's age, right? Yeah. If you start over with a rookie quarterback, then the expectations completely change. You can't say a rookie quarterback, we're Super Bowl or bust now. Now you got to wait for the guy to develop and
lose
your coach.
The second year, right, is when you get to the Super Bowl.
Okay,
so,
second year, if you're Joe Burrow, yeah, great.
Yeah, Brock Purdy.
Or Purdy?
Probably C.J. Stroud this year. I mean, you go down the list. Like, that's really second or third year quarterback. That's when you get to the Super Bowl.
Okay, do we think that the Dallas defense is that good? Like Russell Wilson with the Legion of Boom. I don't know if it's that good. We'll see with Mike Zimmer.
Well, I mean, San Francisco's offense, defense was that good, and they sure look good with Purdy the last couple of years.
Yeah,
so.
They have been very good, though. They have studs. They've got Nick Bosa. They've got Fred Warner. I mean, they're an awesome defensive team. Their defensive coordinators keep getting hired other places.
I mean, Jalen Hurts was in his third year, but, I mean, The path to do it is not have a quarterback who's been there, the starter, for 8 years and never done it, and then hope that he hits it in the second half. When does that work? There's no model for that. You got to do it early. By
Rich
the way,
Gannon, I guess. I don't know.
Well, Rich Gannon was actually on multiple teams, right?
Yeah.
There's just no this current model with Dak Prescott. It's just not a model. That's not a Super Bowl model. And unfortunately for your guy, Josh Allen, that's not really a model either.
Well, Matthew Stafford, I mean.
Stafford moved teams.
Yeah, he moved. I understand.
That's the model for Dak. Yeah, Dak might make a Super Bowl, but it ain't going to be in Dallas. Well, that's the reality of the situation.
Imagine if Matthew Stafford is on the Lions right now.
I don't know. Because the Lions rebuild around that trade. I'm not so sure.
855-212-4227. All right, let's bring it back to the Cowboys. And this is the question for you today. After Jerry and Steven and Mike McCarthy, very long, winding press conference that lasted about an hour. If you could only pay one guy, Dak, CeeDee, or Micah, who is it? You can go to @MaggieandPearl on X and vote. Good morning, everybody. Perloff and I did it again. We are wearing similar colors today. I don't know how this keeps happening.
I got a Roberto Clemente sweatshirt. I love this sweatshirt, and it's sort of gold and black. This is homage to the Steelers training camp, and I think you're a similar vein. But yours is more Packers yellow.
Yeah, I guess so.
Your alternate Packers uniform today.
Every time you walk in, we walk in and see each other, I'm like, and we did it again. If you want to watch the show and see how alike we look today, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv /InfinitySportsNetwork. We say good morning to our Infinity Sports Network affiliates who we love. SiriusXM channel 158 is a great way to listen to the show. And the free Odyssey app, which is absolutely free to download. 855-212-4227. Get it going with the Cowboys. If you could only pay one guy, Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, or CeeDee Lamb, who should the Cowboys pay? That's your question.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. The debate today, if the Cowboys could pay one person, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, or Micah Parsons, who would you pay? I'm paying the future Hall of Fame pass rusher slash outside linebacker, hopefully pass rusher, Micah Parsons. Maggie, you were going with?
It's got to be Dak Prescott. Let's not overcomplicate this thing.
Dak's pretty expensive, and Jerry Jones told us in the last segment he has not been able to afford everything he wants in life. I don't know what it is he can't afford.
Yeah, what do you think that means?
Oh, I don't know. Like
the yacht, clearly.
Gold-plated jet? I have no idea. He's worth a lot of money.
He also slipped in this funny moment yesterday during the State of the Cowboys where he's talking about what a privilege it's been to own the Cowboys, and not that, but it's also like a privilege to be in this position where you have all these great players and they all want to get paid. He goes, mm-hmm. And it's been my privilege to own the Cowboys and run the NFL. I was like, said the quiet part out loud. Let's hear a little Dak Prescott. Can we? Dak talking about the Cowboys have more wants and more things outside of himself. Let's hear cut 23, please, Pete.
It's a two-way street that they have wants, I have wants. I think I've deserved that. Understanding that this is a business, and obviously I want to be here. Talking about growing up, this is where I've become a man.
All right, and Dak says, though, other great quarterbacks have gone on to switch teams and have success.
I want to be here, but you know, when you look up, all the great quarterbacks I watched played for other teams. So my point in saying that is that that's not something to fear. That may be a reality for me one day, may not be my decision. So that's the freedom that I have is be where your feet are, make the most of it, be confident in yourself, make your team better. I love my teammates. I love that locker room. I love everything about being out here in Oxnard and being a Dallas Cowboy. So that's what allows me to be free and focused and understand that in time comes, who knows what comes.
In other words, that is several words to describe, I'm going to Miami.
Goodbye, Dallas. I'm taking my talents to South Beach.
Start printing that, exactly. Start printing that Prescott Dolphins jersey. You always say if you're thinking about retirement, you already have 1 foot in retirement. He's got 1 foot out the door.
You think so?
I mean, one foot
to free agency.
I think now he's got plenty of money, so he doesn't really need to worry about getting paid. Like Micah Parsons and CeeDee are on their rookie deals, so they're in a different ballpark than Dak. I think Dak is looking around. I think maybe he's tired of this.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that's another grass is greener situation. Not saying he couldn't go somewhere else and have success. But while I was saying that the Cowboys should be careful what they wish for if they want to get rid of Dak Prescott, good luck finding your next franchise quarterback. Guy was runner-up in MVP last year. But also, there's certain privileges that come with being the Dallas Cowboys quarterback. Now, maybe that grows old, maybe the scrutiny, but it's not like, you know, there's also a lot of perks and privileges, I think, that come with being that visible. So
Definitely. Know. It's so interesting to me. Do you think it's possible that Dak is getting tired of that attention and that focus? I mean, he said, I love being in Oxnard. Like, it's gorgeous out there. He's in California. He gets to wear the star on his helmet. He gets all the attention. Everyone's talking about him. I wonder the way his personality is he had enough? Which is weird to me because I think a lot of people would like that. But we forget about the downside of that. Like, every time he throws a pick in the playoffs, like, a lot of people are criticizing him.
Yeah, I understand it. I feel like Dallas Cowboys quarterbacks remain Dallas Cowboys quarterbacks.
Right? Yeah, for life. Tony Romo did not leave them. He had to retire because of health issues and he lost his job. It just feels like Dak is ready to go. I don't know what it is. Like, would he say that? A few years ago, he never would have said that. Like he's getting tired.
You're like, all right, if you're Dak Prescott, it's like, all right, I'm done with the Cowboys. Let's just say he is. I'm done with the Cowboys. I can't wait to get to a real buttoned-up organization like the Miami Dolphins, who haven't won a playoff game this century. Like, where you're going to a place that is not exactly known for being, like, they just got a first-round draft pick fine because their owner was meeting with Tom Brady on a yacht. Like, even you couldn't even get the quarterback. Like, you did the tampering, and you couldn't even get the guy. It all blew up in their faces. Like, I just don't think, when I think of, like, really well-run teams, the first thing in my mind isn't, wow, Miami Dolphins. They're really the model of consistency.
It's not the only option. I was just giving Miami seems like a logical one. I mean, listen, will Rodgers be done in New York? Because you go to the Jets for stability.
Maybe go to the Giants? Yeah, there's a lot there. These other models of stability, the Jets and the Giants, they've been awesome lately.
Pittsburgh Steelers have no one under contract next year. That's a possibility. You never know. So much changes from year to year. The Jets, I'd go Steelers is stability. That's a lot different.
Still, I
stopped you there for a second.
I hate to say it.
Yeah. New Orleans? How about that?
Yeah, that front office is dynamite.
Oh, I mean, listen, it's same similar front office to the one who got them in the Super Bowl with Drew Brees.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, there are options out there. I mean, Arizona at some point is going to be tired of Kyler Murray. There's so much that could happen. We're getting a year ahead of ourselves, presumably. But now that Dak has opened that door, I really do think this is a fun conversation now, because he's basically saying, Jerry, listen, I'll play this year. If you want to play this game, if you want to have me playing for my future here, I'll bet on myself. I think he's fine doing that.
Yeah.
Do you think he's okay?
Yeah.
Right. One big thing is he's already gotten paid.
Yeah. And I think he's going to have a huge market. Kirk Cousins just got $100 million coming off an Achilles tear. What do you think Dak Prescott's going to get? Like, he's going to be fine. And I think he's going to have plenty of suitors.
Yeah.
I think he's going to feel the love. I think the things that athletes love about free agency, I think, are going to come his way. You're welcome to go vote on our poll at Maggie and Pearl on X. If you can only pay one guy, Dak, CD, Micah Parsons, who do you pay? 855-212-4227. Andrew Bogush is in this morning, a little worse for the wear.
No, I'm an adult professional. I'm fine. Thank
sure
you for checking.
No, adult and professional was never in doubt.
No, I'm here. I'm sturdy. I'm fine. I think.
Did you say sturdy?
Sturdy,
or dirty?
Yeah. No, I wish I was sturdy.
Oh, those are the good old days.
Remember? Wait. Sorry. Are we going to say what happened here?
That's what I'm waiting for.
I don't understand. I did not weigh in. There was a text thread last night, and I honestly did not understand what was going on. I was like, is this real?
Same here.
Oh, EJ, thank you.
It was hilarious, I thought.
Thank you, Maggie.
Wait, was it real or fake?
Were you
playing center field for a Little League baseball team yesterday?
It was a real text. The text, where is it? I said, at 6:46 Eastern time yesterday, I texted the group on purpose, I might be drunk in center field against 10-year-olds. So that was, at that moment, I might be drunk was a fair statement. I was not drunk in the end, test confirmed. Might have been buzzed, but I was definitely in center field playing a fun, non-official baseball game against my son's team.
Buzz center field is drunk center field, Bogus. I saw it on a commercial.
I was like, sir, this is a Wendy's. No, I understand. I thought it was great. I'm like, we need to know, how did you get, first of all, why are you playing against a bunch of 10-year-olds?
Yes.
That's not maybe that much of a stretch. Dads play against their kids.
Mm.
But how tequila was getting passed out of this game. Yeah.
Wait, I just can disagree a little bit. That is a bit of a stretch. Dads play against their kids. They don't go into center field in the middle of a game.
The summer of travel baseball that keeps on giving continues. Remember, we went to Delaware and didn't play a game for 3 days? There's that story. And then yesterday, we showed up to play a doubleheader, and it was at a bad time. It, like, threw everyone's day into, like, the blender, running around, getting ready to the field, getting ready to go. We get there. We're warming up. It's a beautiful day. And first pitch is 5 o'clock, 4:30. We look around. Like, usually the other team's here by now. And then I go, there's no umpire either. That's weird. Now, we were supposed to...
And that's when you took that blender and started making margaritas with it.
This tequila.
Frozen marks for everybody.
We were supposed to play this team in a doubleheader the previous Thursday, and that morning, they called our coach and said, without explanation, I don't have enough guys to play. Can we postpone the game? So we thought the game was moved from last Thursday to yesterday, but apparently the league and the other team didn't know that. So that's why there was no umpire. That's why there was no other team. So we shifted into practice mode. So we were legitimately, like, throwing BP, walking around the field, teaching kids here and there. And then all of a sudden...
How to take a shooter?
And then,
like,
and then all of
them?
A sudden I was handed a red Solo cup with tequila, with a splash of tequila. And about a half an hour later, there was your text.
I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. And I was already bad-mouthing these kids for fun. So then the tequila happened. I probably got a little bit too loud.
It's horrible.
Everyone was a good audience.
It's like all of a sudden a muffled "you suck" like from the back. Like, who said that?
I feel like
Dad said that.
I feel like we're flirting with, like, should you be in some form of trouble for this? Like, this doesn't seem totally right.
Off.
I don't know.
No, I mean, listen, just like Google travel baseball games. And all parents do is get hammered. You're lucky that I wasn't asleep in center field.
Who amongst
there's
us?
Nothing, there's nothing worse for a 10-year-old than thinking you're going to play an actual baseball game and instead your dad's playing center field at practice.
Hey, stumbling around.
I'm sorry. I feel so bad for Jake. He must be going, what the hell? I wanted a game.
He's still getting ice cream afterwards. It doesn't matter.
We went home and Jake said, "Man, that was fun." And I was like, "Yeah, it was." He liked it. He loved it.
Maybe he got into the Casamigos.
Tequila.
I didn't check
that. I feel like AI here. Practice? Against Bogush?
It's been a tough season.
No, we made it fun. They were playing different positions. Yeah. They took turns hitting. They were running the bases like lunatics, which they love to do. They had a good time.
They were blasted.
Wow. I remember playing.
I think that's what happened.
And that team didn't show up. That was like always the worst day of the month. Yeah. Like the fact that now you're talking about the kids had fun. I'm like, maybe Perloff is right. Maybe these kids don't got that dog in them. Well, they want to practice.
Yeah.
The particular disappointment yesterday was that this is one of the teams, the few, that are below us in the standings.
Oh, so you were hoping for an easy W.
Well, we were hoping for a W. We'll take it however we can get it. And it was a chance to get two W's. So that was particularly disappointing. Like, why not have the good teams not show up?
You couldn't get a forfeit. That is terrible.
But now, right, because there was no... It was partially... It seems like our coach made some error in this, too, so it was a little bit on our blame
as well.
Maybe
he should lay off the sauce.
But now, the latest update was the games are now rescheduled for this Saturday morning. And if his other team can't play or doesn't show up, then we will get credited with the two wins. But yesterday could have been,
The key. So screw up the schedule and hope that the other team doesn't show up to the makeup.
And now your whole weekend's ruined.
Yeah. Well, you got Andrew Bogus spelled with a U because you're doing your Andrew Jones impersonation. I've been thinking about this all. Yeah,
I wish.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I made a couple of good plays in center field.
I'm sorry. There's no amount of tequila that's going to turn Andrew Bogus into Andrew Jones.
Patella tendon is still intact. I give you credit for that.
Yeah.
Seriously, the bar's low around here.
Is there any amount of tequila that would make my semi-dad joke there any good?
Also,
tequila.
No.
Nope.
But yes, my knee is fine, EJ, but I definitely need Tommy John surgery. That has been in the back of my head for a while, confirmed yesterday by me throwing BBs from center field.
Oh, jeez.
Elbow was barking last night.
Oh,
it was just dipping it in the tequila.
Andrew, Judge Bogus, something like that. beyond that, any other headlines?
Yeah, congrats to all six of us, actually. We all had as many hits as the Washington Nationals yesterday.
Abrams to right field. Johnson coming in. He makes the catch. No hits for the Nats. Dylan Cease throws a no-hitter. The second no-hitter in Padres history. There'll be a sea of San Diegans celebrating back home today.
That's the great Don Orsillo on Padres TV. Dylan Cease making history in D.C. yesterday afternoon. 9 Ks in the no-hitter. A career-high 114 pitches. He had thrown 94 of them through 7 innings, so manager Mike Schilt almost took Cease out of the game.
He said, nice job, and I looked up and it was like 94 pitches, and I just said, I feel great, and if we get through the next one in like 105, then I've thrown 113 this year, and so he, thankfully, they let me talk him into it, and then here we are.
Yeah, Cease was efficient over those last two to make history with the no-hitter.
I thought the craziest part of this is the hour-long rain delay that they also
in
let
the
him...
the first inning, yeah.
They let him, come back out. That's generally a no-no in this day and age, but I love the fact that he talked his way back into the game.
Yeah, I don't know how close he was to really coming out of it. It seemed like it was, a quick talk, and that was it, and... The manager says that he was talking to another pitcher, and the pitcher was like, "You got to leave him in." He's like, "Yeah, you're right." So I don't know that they were really taking him out, and he talked his way back in. But there was a little bit of a, "Hey, that's a lot of pitches. What do you think?"
I really hope Dylan Cease goes on to continue to dominate this season, because this could be maybe the sign is that, hey, like, a guy throwing a no-hitter doesn't mean that his arm's going to fall off.
Yeah,
like,
right.
He can go 115 pitches and do complete history, second no-hitter in a season, and still have a fine career. Like, now I'm, like, the biggest Dylan Cease fan moving forward because I don't want him to get hurt or don't have anything bad happen to him moving forward so we can actually have more of these great, obviously. No-hitters.
It won't happen, EJ. No, there's no...
You mean it won't happen that other guys won't get a shot or that he will get hurt or he will be terrible?
No, that other guys will get a shot. Like, there's just no... There's no rhyme or reason to this at all, and no team is going to, like, go, oh, well, Dylan Cease did it, so I'll just let my guy throw 121 pitches on a random Thursday. But I wish. I like seeing history. What else we got,
Well, the 3-0 win also important for San Diego's playoff push. They stay a half game behind the Mets for the second NL wild card. The Amazons outlasted the Braves 3-2-10 last night. That's 5 straight wins, a season-high 6 games over .500.
That's
the
right.
The Seattle Mariners trading for Rays outfielder Randy Arozarena, sending 2 prospects to Tampa Bay. Arozarena only hitting .211 with 15 homers, but still should help the Mariners, who have the 3rd lowest OPS in the majors. They also trail the Astros by a game in the AL West after having a 10-game cushion back in early June. Before LeBron and Coco Gauff carry the U.S. flag in the opening ceremonies later today in Paris, Snoop Dogg.
Snoop! Snoop-a-loop!
Carried the Olympic torch. He was an official part of the relay that gets the torch to the Stade de France for tonight's ceremonies. The festivities begin right around 1:30 Eastern today.
Wait, I was confused by this. Why wouldn't a French person do this?
Well, because it's a lot of people. He's not the one that brought it to, like, the cauldron. But the torch goes from, like...
Pay to see that.
And then light a joint off of it.
That's the way to do it.
Sorry, a blunt, not a joint. How dare I?
The torch relay is, like, goes on for the 4 years in between the games. Like, it starts, like, where it was, and then it gets walked all the way to the new place. So he was just one of, I think, probably thousands that got to hold it for a mile or whatever.
I love that Flavor Flav said, what an honor this is for everyone in hip-hop. I'm like, and now we got Flavor Flav waving.
Well, what does he do?
Flavor Flav, he's like the official hype man for the women's water polo team.
I think he's
been practicing.
How could I have forgotten about that?
Made that call.
Very obvious partnership.
I think he funds them. He's not just like a cheerleader. Like, he's their bankroll.
He's like their Uncle Luke to the Miami Hurricanes.
I like to see people around.
Worked out well for the Miami. So.
I like to see people sitting around a table coming up with that one.
List of people to reach out to. We need money.
He scored 2 goals in the game, and I thought it's just a good or bad sign for our Americans in water polo.
That's like when Oregon lets Phil Knight call a play. You know, whoever's got the money gets to have a little bit of fun.
The Canadian Olympic Committee has sent women's soccer head coach Bev Priestman home as the fallout continues from the team using drones to spy on a closed New Zealand practice ahead of these Olympics. Current reports say the women and men's team have been doing this for years, and that COC says its latest info indicates that Priestman knew what was going on. She was already suspended. Now she has to go home altogether.
How's that her fault, really? I mean,
can you listen before you get angry? She knew it was happening.
Okay, that's fine. Close the practice more. You know, don't.
Whoa. You're blaming the victim?
Yes.
Pete, sit this one out. Okay, take a break.
Thank you.
All right.
Wait, hold on. I want to hear Pete out on this.
Oh, no.
So
I'll piss.
The drone, they got spied on with a drone. New Zealand got spied on. They called it out. Canada got in trouble because they've been running a semi-elaborate drone spying scam going back to 2019. But Pete, you're in favor of Canada here?
No, I'm in favor of how about you pay attention and this won't happen.
They did pay attention.
Yeah, I think that's how they got called.
They were, hey, there's a drone above us. That shouldn't be happening.
Well, how has it been happening since 2019?
Apparently Honduras actually stopped their practice because they also saw a drone. This is going back a couple years.
Credit to Honduras. They stopped their practice.
And then the Canadians were like, no. Lots of people fly drones, and everyone's really excited because Honduras is in town.
But
I was like, wow, that's quite a defense.
If they knew it, why all of a sudden now it's an issue?
No, it just happened.
But you just said 2019.
No, I didn't.
No, yeah. It's been going. They think it's been going back now for years.
The right. New Zealand thing happened like Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's been happening. So why haven't we done anything about it in 2019?
I think they got caught red-handed this time.
I thought Canada was supposed to be nice.
When do the Olympics end again?
When do you end again?
Soon.
You've got Boxer here for no reason. Put him on the microphone.
My question is, why is Canada not better at soccer? Aren't they notoriously kind of bad?
Like, they're the reigning gold medalists on the women's side.
The men's team. The men's team is. I heard that didn't Bogus, maybe I'm also not listening to the update. Maybe didn't Bogus, that men's team has been doing this.
Yeah,
too?
And the men actually have been better than our men recently. At least in the Copa America, they went farther than us. And they're coached now by an American. They've been on the upswing, maybe because they're cheating.
Maybe, okay. Maybe we figured it out.
But then. Again, shame on the victims.
Do with better. Do better.
I'm Pilati.
Do better. Bogus, thank you so much for all of that. That drone scandal is just so weird and silly. We've got a quarterback situation percolating in Pittsburgh. We'll tell you about it next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff. Perloff had to take a quick time out for a second. Got to deal with something that just came up. Andrew Bogus is here. The crazy thing about the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback situation, Bogus, is that you have Russell Wilson and you have Justin Fields. Now, yesterday, Russell Wilson was dealing with some calf tightness. So Mike Tomlin said it was his decision for Russ to sit.
Russ woke up today, man. His calf was tight. It was my decision to sit him down today. Create a little short-term discomfort for him, not allowing a small problem to become a bigger problem. He can be characterized as day-to-day.
Okay. Tomlin went on to say that Wilson's injury was a good opportunity because now Justin Fields, on short notice, was taking all the reps with the ones.
On the flip side of that, it was an awesome opportunity for Justin and a challenge for our offensive unit to deal with a little adversity at the outset. You know, we all like to start with great
Okay, so I think...
curse?
I mean, it's Tomlin, who knows? But here's the thing. Is there a possibility, Bogus, that this situation just sort of works itself out? Like, we're all, and I am very focused in on who is actually going to be the quarterback of this team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, when it really matters at the end of the season, and hopefully for Steelers fans in a playoff run. Is it possible this just works itself out? We get no drama, no tension, because there could be an injury situation.
Well, it's not this injury, though, right? I mean, this is just, I'll believe Mike Tomlin. And by the way, if you didn't miss football and then you hear him talk, that's my favorite thing about the league.
I know, we're
so
back.
Give me Mike Tomlin, the big words, the great metaphors. I'm here for all of that. So short-term discomfort, long-term, he's the best. I love that man. I hope he coaches forever.
Don't worry, he will.
This is not the injury that's going to solve all of this. The thing I don't know is, like, really how entrenched they are in Russell being number one. Like, how bad would he have to play for them to make a switch? Because if it's out of their hands, whatever. But if he remains barely average, how long will they let that go on? I don't know how deeply connected they are to him being the number one guy.
Listen, Mike Tomlin stuck with Matt Canada, the offense coordinator, right, to the point where ownership had to get involved. And ultimately, ownership was, if you believe the reports, and I do, ownership was ultimately who called for the head of Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator, and finally made a change because Tomlin would not do it. He didn't want it to seem like he was throwing one of his coaches under the bus for a team failure. I think they will stick with Russ for a very long time. Now, here's the question, because you have the fans who are part of this too, which is, let's say this calf injury is not that serious, but let's say calf injury, veteran days, you know, Russ has to be managed like a guy in his late 30s, and Russell and Justin Fields doesn't have to be. What if he starts playing great? What if Justin Fields starts to get a little connection with some of the receivers, starts to show that he can take steps forward? I mean, this is a big offense that's going to be like really big on tight ends and stuff like that. You're going to look good, you know? It could make a quarterback look good, especially in camp. And if he plays preseason games, then I think you open up the door to a controversy. Now, Mike Tomlin can weather that. He's got a lot of power in the organization. He's not going to be swayed by the fans. But that's where I think this thing creeps in and starts to impact the locker room.
And that's probably, aside from like a catastrophic injury to one of them, like that's a little bit feels worst case scenario where they're beginning the season with this. It's one thing, it's even if it's week four or week five, but like to literally go into the season with Fields somehow ending up being the definitively better quarterback in the moment is definitely not, I don't think, where they want to be. Because I really do think, like you said, that they want Russ to be the guy and then would stick with him as long as humanly possible. They don't want to start in the midst of a deep, deep controversy here.
Yeah,
so they're
hoping,
I'm sure, that Russell gets back out there and at least looks serviceable.
So after, at the end of practice, he was out there in shorts and throwing a little bit, but again, just being super cautious with this. You know, the idea that I think they are going to be loyal to Russ, and he does have the pole position. They're going to give him every
shot. Although he is an outsider. This is not Roethlisberger, so I don't know. Like, that's why I don't know what the loyalty factor actually is here.
Well, really good friends with one of the minority owners, if you want to go that deep. But the other are business partners with one of the minority owners, which is just sort of an interesting wrinkle. I think it's flawed logic. Like, I would actually do this the other way if I were the Steelers. If everything was perfect and I didn't have to worry about egos and placating people and ownership and I just had a blank slate, I'm doing this the other way. I'm actually starting with Fields. And if I think that Russell Wilson still has in the tank, I'm waiting and I'm bringing in Russell Wilson off the bench if I am making a playoff push or if something happens with Fields. Like, I want the more experienced guy maybe bringing this thing home, because, and I would start with Fields, and if Fields ends up being great, well, now you've got your future quarterback.
See, and almost for the same reason, this is the way I would do it. Like, adding Fields to the mix was the flyer for the possibility of finding your starter for the next 8 years.
Right.
Like, you know that Russell is short-term to some extent, no matter what. But if Fields came in and your guys and your system worked well with him, and there were times last year where he was good enough to talk about the Bears doing something other than the number one pick, as we all remember.
Yeah.
So like, you're taking the flyer for the future. So this is the way, to me, that it makes sense. We start with Russ, and hopefully that goes great. But if it's not, then we go to the younger guy, and maybe the future starts sooner rather than later.
Okay, possible. We're talking about the Steelers quarterback situation, and what way does this make sense? I would actually start Fields, and I would have Russell Wilson in my back pocket, as opposed to the way that the Steelers are doing it now with starting Wilson and having Fields, because I got Wilson as playoff experience. Like, if I'm the Steelers, don't I think I have a shot? I make the playoffs with teams that are worse than this. Is it like the goal to me this year is to make the playoffs and actually win a game in the playoffs, you know? And for that, if you're just asking me on balance, I actually trust Russell Wilson to win me a playoff game more than I do Justin Fields, just because I've watched it. I've seen him succeed in the postseason.
Yeah, but if you're thinking about, again, Fields, if you're thinking about him long term and thinking that maybe he needs like to detox for a second coming off the Bears and the divorce and all that kind of stuff, that you don't want to put him out there right away, because then if he does struggle and you got to pull him off the field, then you might lose him. This way, maybe they're thinking, okay, we go slow. There is no pressure.
Right.
He takes his time. And at some point, he becomes the better option, whether that's in the back half of this year or next season or whatever.
Yeah, see, I'd love to hear from Steeler fans. Is this season about possibly, you know, winning a playoff game for the first time since, what, 2015, 2016 season? Or is this actually about developing Justin Fields behind the scenes and hoping you struck gold or, you know, whatever, got, you know, took a flyer on Justin Fields and he ends up being your guy? Because we were talking about it before with regards to the Dallas Cowboys. If there's a breakup looming between Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys, like, is Pittsburgh a place where Dak might be a possibility? I don't know. The Steelers don't really do that kind of thing. But again, yeah. They brought in Russ on a, you know, for much less money.
But this all, by the way, this entire conversation connects to something that Perloff and I talked about, I think, Tuesday, because every year there is 4, 5, or 6 teams that change over in the playoff yeah. picture. And the Steelers, to me, are easily on that list of teams that are not going to return to the yeah. postseason this year. Because I don't, now that you get defense, sure.
Right.
Two-headed running backs, okay, fine. George Pickens seems to be a stud. Like, there's reasons why they won 10 games last year. But there's also, I think, a reason why they win only 7 or 8 this year.
Did you guys see that George Pickens already got into a dust-up with the offense? It wasn't the offensive coordinator. I think it was the wide receivers coach. It's like, it's day one. They've been there for one day.
It's a lot of pent-up offseason angst.
How do you have beef already?
Didn't Travis Kelce shove somebody? It just happens.
What, Andy Reid in the Super Bowl?
No. In training camp, he already was pushing and shoving. It's just what they do.
Yeah, he's finally off tour.
Yeah. They fight. I drink in center field. We all have our...
We all have our Thursdays.
Yes, exactly.
You know what? You're holding on admirably, despite a tequila on tequila cocktail at 6:45.
I don't know if the science is true behind this, but I'd put some Gatorade in there. A, for flavor, and B, for immediate hydration. I don't know if that worked or not.
Tequila and Gatorade? What flavor Gatorade?
The red one.
That's the worst one.
But it's closest to like jungle juice.
It's what was there.
Did you guys do jungle juice?
Yes.
Like just mixing
Pete,
everything?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, but it was just juice, Pete.
I had all the flavors.
Oh, okay.
What was in jungle juice? We'll never know, guys.
Wasn't in jungle juice.
151, whatever. Oh, boy. Just got a flashback. 855-212-4227.
Asleep in a tub.
Sleep in a tub, a.k.a. my 30th birthday. Got a lot more to do for you, including the Final Four of the sitcom bracket.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.